Hey there, this is Dominique, and welcome to the Experiencing Financial Contentment podcast. This episode originally aired as a video on my YouTube channel. You can find this and other episodes where I discuss financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development by visiting my YouTube channel or by visiting my blog at www.djhendersonsr.com. Now enjoy the episode. In this video, we're going to be doing an unboxing review of the Robinhood app. I'm going to give you my very first impressions from just downloading it and opening the app from a financial professional's perspective. Get the pen and paper out. All right, here we go. So what I have up is my Robinhood app, and we're just going to kind of go through it and set up an account. Don't want to go through the installation. You can kind of figure that out by yourself. But just want to give you my first impressions from a financial advisor standpoint of this app. So obviously, they want me to fund my account. And let's just kind of look through. They have a watch list. It looks like it's predefined. I didn't set any of these names in here. And let's just click on one of these names. Facebook, why not? And we're going to click on, okay, there we go. So we $163 a share is where it's trading at. This is all pretty standard stuff. You can get this all at Yahoo Finance or Google Finance, any number of financial websites for free. There looks like there's some curated news here, a couple of articles. Don't know where those come from. And then we got stats, which is also pretty, you know, standard. So, you know, this is, if I'm trying to use this tool to decide whether I should buy a particular stock, in this case, Facebook, should I use it? I mean, to be honest, I don't have enough information here. These are pretty, like I said, cursory stats around Facebook that really don't show you too much of anything. If you're really looking at a stock from a, what is its value in relation to where it's trading, to see whether or not it's overpriced or whether it's underpriced. And right now, as I'm looking in this, I don't really see a lot of information. It's no more than I would see at Yahoo Finance, and then I would have to go do some more additional research. What's interesting or intriguing to me is this volatility measure, which is a very good measure to use in order to determine whether or not you want to buy something. Volatility is basically a statistics measure that measures how a stock moves around its average. So let's say the average price for Facebook is $150. And right now it's trading at $163, which is about, you know, $13 more, almost 10% above that average. And so a volatility measure will give you an indication of how much it moves around and bounces around that straight line that is the average. And that's really a good tool to kind of see, well, you know, is this going to be too risky in my portfolio? Because one day it's going to be at 170, the other day it's going to be at 120. But what I'm looking at right now just says that it's a low volatility. And my question would be, low compared to what? Low compared to the last, you know, 50 days or 250 days or, you know, 300 days. How long are we talking about with the way that they calculated the volatility? And as you can see, I can't really click on anything. So I don't know if this is supposed to be for research or is this supposed to be something that helps me once I deposit funds into the account. Kind of head scratcher on there. I don't know what that's for. Earnings. Obviously, you know, it shows some of what the hits and the misses, actual versus expected. And that's a pretty good tool also to measure. All these are what we would call backward looking type of statistics where doesn't seem to be in the app right now, anything besides the news, the curated news that they give you from which source we don't know, to give you any forward looking, like, you know, how does Facebook compare to any of its peers, like maybe a Twitter or something like that, or a Google? We don't see any of its peers or competitors in this particular view of the app. So for now, it just looks like, you know, you would use Robinhood to kind of dive in. And if you already, have an idea of what you want to purchase, very convenient tool, because as you may know, there's no commissions on the trade. So What I would say is a positive, if it's low on the research end, let me give you a positive. You know, if I had an account over at Schwab or TD and I was paying, you know, X amount of dollars for commission trades, you know, I might be inclined to move those securities over to my Robinhood account so that I can trade free of commission. And that would be a benefit. So, and I would say the convenience of it, you know, you can just pull it up on your app and trade. It looks like you would do that. Like, so if I hit buy right here, I don't have any money in the account, like I said, but it looks like if I wanted to, and I wanted to buy 100 shares of Facebook, here we go. I get to review the trade, and now it tells me I don't have enough buying power. So I would have to make a deposit in order to do that. And then if I wanted to, it looks like it's probably going to kick. Yeah. So it kicks me to being able to fund my account. So that's all really convenient. I did an earlier video about accessibility being one of the key factors you want to look at on trading platforms. And so this does it if for a robo-advisor, if you want to call it that. And I think that's great. But on the research side, it is lacking. I don't know much more to say about that. Let's look at this show or this about. Okay, so it gives me a little bit, you know, very, very small snippet about what Facebook does, what their business is. But again, I think, you know, from a financial advisor standpoint, what I would say is you would need some supplemental research with any stock that you're going to trade and not be thinking that you can get everything you need on this platform because it's just not robust enough. Let's see if there's anything else here that we want to kind of look at. Let's look at disclosures. Okay, so this is just talking about my watch list. This is disclosures around my watch list. Let's look up here. You're off the wait list and you can now sign up for trading, for options trading. So that's kind of cool. So most brokerage accounts allow you to trade options. There's different levels of option trading depending on your level of expertise and how much money you have in the account. But suffice to say, that's a way to, you know, trade derivatives of stocks. So options give you the right to buy or sell a stock at a certain price before a certain date, where you don't have to really own the stock. So that's kind of cool. And it looks like it has another feature here where there's free stock. So I would assume that if I invite friends, that Robinhood is going to pick out some stocks and give them to me for free. Now, what they give me, I don't know. I guess I would have to kind of look into this a little bit more. But so, you know, there's some referrals going on. I think the takeaway is for like this particular app and other apps like it is going to be that, you know, when you are using a free app where they don't get paid by the fees that you're paying them, and they definitely don't get paid by holding securities in your account because they probably use a custodian in order to do that, like most brokers do. The point is this is going to be a big advertising platform. So you might get some in-app ads. You might have your information sent to some type of marketing firm that gets your email address and, you know, solicit you for maybe loans or mortgages or things like that, because this is essentially the way that things work now in the marketing days or in this digital age with marketing apps, is because since there is no quid pro quo when it comes to fee for service, they've got to get paid some type of way. And really it's just really advertising. So you might want to just look at that as far as, and it may not bother you. Sometimes it doesn't bother most people. I wouldn't worry about it if it doesn't bother you. Let's look in settings. I would definitely turn on the two-factor authentication. I can't talk right now. Because I think the more secure you have this account, the better. You know, one of the things from a financial advisor standpoint is you need to make sure you're changing your passwords on your accounts and things like that. So, you know, the fact that this is on your phone, you want to enable your biometrics also, like the, you know, your Touch ID, just because if anything gets executed on this app with your device, you're likely going to be liable for it. I'm pretty sure that's how things work. And so therefore, you're going to want to make sure that it's as secure as possible. Let's just dive into the investment profile. I guess we can personalize this. Oh, so this is kind of cool. This is kind of like a risk tolerance questionnaire. We've talked about this before to kind of see what type of investor you are. Maybe they're going to suggest stocks for me if I do this. So let's just say that my objective is growth. And how long do I plan to invest my money? So this is pretty good. This is what you would normally see when opening a brokerage account, due to things like knowing your customer and Patriot Act laws and things of that nature. So how long do I plan to invest my money? Let's say 7 or more. I'm a long-term investor. The global stock market is often volatile. If your entire investment portfolio lost 10% of its value in a month during a market decline, what would you do? So this is a key question. This is, you know, a lot of studies have shown, scientifically proven, that humans, even especially as investors, we're more inclined to look at the downside versus the upside. So most questions are centered around how much or what would your reaction be if you lost something, not what would your reaction be if you gained something. So this is a key point that I want to bring out that they're asking, and I think this is really cool that they're doing it like this. So I'll say I would keep or buy more. That's how I would do. How much investment experience do you have? I would say I'm an expert at this. What is your primary source of investment funds? Let's say savings and personal income. How important is liquidity to you? So liquidity is how quickly can I get to my money? Is it tied up in something that's going to basically lose value if I try to sell it in a certain time frame after I buy it? Or is it as good as cash? You know, so that is very important to me. What is your approximate yearly income? Let's just go ahead and put that. What is your approximate net worth? Okay. What is your total value of your cash and liquid investments? And your marital status. So they're asking a lot of questions. They want to get something to know about you. Now, what's a key question here that I have is, would I have been able to trade Facebook and deposit money into my account without answering this? Because notice I came to this after I did that whole transaction a little while ago. That's kind of interesting to me. Typically speaking, if I was opening an account for a person, I would collect all this information up front so that I can get the quantitative and the qualitative information before I make investment decisions or trade on their behalf. So it's up in the air. I don't know whether or not Robinhood would have forced me to answer these before they actually put Facebook in my account had I had money in there. I don't know. That's curious. I'm curious on that one. This is for tax documents purposes. So this is all legit. And so now my account is personalized. I would like to call this a risk tolerance questionnaire or getting information to know your customer. Just to make sure I'm not funding terrorism on the other side of the world or something like that. They got to know where my money's coming from and that I pay taxes on it. Okay, so that looks to be done. Back out of this. I think that my impression of this particular app is that, one, you're going to want to supplement your research around stocks or whatever you're trying to buy before you just use this app carte blanche to think that it's going to solve all your, you know, money problems. You need to have some way to research the stocks you want to buy to make sure if you're buying the right ones for your portfolio. They do look like they do a good job on accessibility and being able to properly quantify your risk. Now, the problem with what we did, and I switched off of that, I don't know what that information that they collected about my risk preference goes to do, right? Are they going to use that to have it as kind of like a backstop or a barometer to say, like, if I buy something that's outside of my risk preference, no, Dominique, don't do that, or a warning? I don't know if they're going to do any of that, because otherwise, you know, why did you really collect the information? That's one of the things that a financial advisor provides for you, is we're going to build a portfolio. He or she's going to build a portfolio based off your needs, but as well as your investment profile, which is very important. So you don't get into a situation where you're wanting to sell out when you don't need to, or buy when you don't need to, because it's outside your risk profile. So I don't know how Robinhood's going to use that. In this little short demo and unboxing, I didn't really get into that, but that's something to kind of keep in the forefront of your mind. The other thing is cost. Cost looks like it's fine. It's free. So the only downside from that is actually there's probably nobody to call if I have a problem. Let's just jump right back in there again. They have a help. Let me share my screen with you one more time so I can. I didn't look at that for service-wise, and that's an important thing, potentially. All right, so service-wise, help center. So they probably got a FAQ, which means that you need to get in there and kind of figure it out on your own. Let's see if they have a number that I can call. I can report a bug. I can send an email, but there's no number you can call, which makes a lot of sense, right? Because I'm not paying for anything. How would they fund and pay the people that are in the service center since this app is collecting nothing except for, you know, marketing and advertising dollars? So that makes sense. I think on the support and service, you know, typically speaking, if you're using a robo-advisor or an app like this, an automated wealth platform, as we call them, your whole point is you don't really need service. You know, if you wanted service, you would go on the full service side and talk to an advisor or something like that, or maybe one of the discount brokers or something like that, like a Schwab or a TD or Ameritrade. So my impression is that it is a very good tool for convenience. And if you want to add this to a strategy where you're already picking the stocks and researching them, or someone's giving you advice, feeding you advice, so that you can have a portfolio that suits you, I'll go all for it. But if you're just looking to download an app to make some money because everything that you need is inside the app, this does not do it for me. So hopefully that's been helpful. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye for now.
Hey there. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please give it a positive rating and review at the same location that you downloaded it. If you've got any questions for me, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel and leave me a comment, as I answer every single comment I receive. Now have a great and prosperous day.